When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. Well, the news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon. And you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show.
Yeah,
but you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck. So, but you want
to
listen to it ad free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even for $55, you can get a whole year of office hours entertainment.
$55? What? That's well. That's how much you can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool,
right?
You would pay. You'd pay $60 for a year at right. $5 a month.
But dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad-free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun, yeah. I like to laugh, yeah. I like to meet people who can make me laugh, yeah. I like having fun, yes, I like to laugh, yeah. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Good morning, everybody. From the Office Hours Studios in Glendale, California, this is Office Hours. It's 10 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. March 11th, 2021, Thursday. Today we're going to be joined...
Circle back.
...by the musician Andrew Bird and Kobe Donovan, Jimbo Mathis. We also have in the studio with us Weird Al Pacino.
Where am I?
And, of course, your Zooms and... the Holy Trinity of Doug Lusenhop and Vic Burgers with us as well. Thank you guys
Jesus
for being
Christ.
Here.
Jesus Christ.
We have a lot to get through, so I'm going to kick things off right now with the City of the Day.
Yeah, baby.
This is very low energy.
This is disturbing. This is an unsettling way to begin the show. I'm just trying to class things up.
Are we really playing City of the Day?
Are we live?
Yeah. Are we really playing City of the Day?
No.
Get ready.
Ladies
into
and gentlemen,
it.
From the Office Hours Studios in Glendale, California, this is Office Hours Live. I'm your host, Tim Heidecker. On the show today, we're going to be speaking with you, the Zoomers. We're also going to be speaking with Weird Al Pacino and Andrew Bird, as well as Jimbo Mathis. what is that music you're doing?
A little Wurlitzer there, actually. Okay. Carousel tunes.
We are so... Wait a minute. Now, let's just chill out. First of all, Matt's whispering sweet nothings to Wes over there. Very distracting. Welcome to the show, everybody. I got to kick... Slap my face. What's the problem now?
Well, if I...
Oh, I see. You... Okay.
The other camera broke.
Oh, our Zoom camera broke.
Oh, man.
Good morning, everybody. This is, they wouldn't say everybody. Good morning. This is good morning from the W. Good morning from the OHL studios in Glendale, California. This is Office
Can
Hours Live.
Andy Mills. Lisa.
Oh, let's just celebrate a couple things real quick. We are celebrating a great show last week. Congratulations, Doug. This is your actual birthday week, so we're going to be continuing to celebrate your birthday today.
Yay,
with more
baby.
Surprises. No, I'm just kidding. KC, sorry to let you down there, buddy. We are also sort of celebrating or memorializing or honoring 1 year since a couple of things, since the pandemic start really in earnest swept through our land and changed and altered the way we live our lives. And really the... that's a... Is this just a celebration?
Let's celebrate.
Okay. No, the beginning of Office Hours sort of Mach 3, season 5, whatever you want to call it. The new era began a year ago with the 8-hour, 9-to-5 Office Hours extravaganza at Doug's house. We had just come off the Tim and Eric mandatory attendance tour. During that time, I said, when I come back, let's do a real, like, you know, we've been off the air for several months. And I said, let's come back big. Let's relaunch this show. Let's start the patreon.com/officehourslive. Let's put some fucking work into this show. Let's do it. We love it. I love working with Doug and Vic. I said to Matt, my friend, old friend of mine, I said, can you come and help? You guys know the deal. And I said, we came back. We said, where can we do this? Let's do it at Doug's. I went out to Fry's Electronics, which is now closed, which is now out of business. Fry's is a big old electronics computer store with a big shopping cart. And I bought a bunch of wires and plugs because we're going to do this right. And we set up. And damn it, if we didn't do an 8-hour show that day, Doug.
That's right. 8 full hours, boss.
And I remember it was sort of the last thing we did with other human beings for a little while. And we packed your house with men and a few women. But it was definitely like there was a feeling of like maybe this is a bad idea.
Uncle Phil even came out.
Uncle Phil
on a plane.
Out on a plane.
Georgia.
To spread the virus. Dave Weigel came in from the East Coast as well. Not to do our show, but he happened to be in town. And Fred and John and Mikey and...
Packed them in. No windows.
Kyle Mooney.
Kyle Mooney came by. Everybody came by.
Rent
and I think
by.
People were wearing masks, right?
It's our squirm person.
No, no masks.
No, there were masks.
No, nobody masks. Had a mask on. I didn't even know it was a thing.
I didn't
believe
daft.
In it.
You're daft.
I'll pull it
no.
up. I'll
pull up images.
You can pull it up.
Somebody, really? No masks?
There was confusion about handshaking.
There was confusion
I
about
remember, because I shook Dave's hand, and afterwards, like, why did I do that? Like,
That's when we were worried about surfaces.
Yeah, like, I remember there was some, you know, hand sanitizer around. But
see, I remember getting into a big argument with Robert Davi, and the thrust of my argument was how poorly Trump was handling the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
and I remember him mocking
there must have
it.
Been an awareness that things are not going well.
He was kind of mocking it, saying like, oh, yeah, I even keep distance like when I'm on the highway. I keep, you know.
Was right. that on the 9-to-5? Car. Oh,
yeah, yeah. That's the only time Dove
he's 6 feet behind the car.
Yeah, he would keep
when they're going 75.
Right,
anyway.
Right.
So I don't remember. I mean, it was obviously serious enough that we were talking about it and maybe plans were starting to change.
Look at these graphics.
Too. But you have some evidence?
Yeah, sure. Here, stand by. Do you want audio or just see?
Look at that.
Wow.
What's this? Okay.
Nice so gradient, low. Though. Look at that.
Oh, there it is. No masks.
No masks.
No masks.
Uncle
on.
Phil.
Shame on
Uncle
hat
Phil
on.
Getting the coffee
And Phil, yeah, Doug's still wearing that Pizza Hut hat. Nothing's changed. Everybody's right up in my nostrils in this angle. Hey, you know what? Let's just show the 9-to-5 show today.
Just air it.
Just, all right. Enough of that. But boy, what a year it's been, huh? Who knew?
Listen up, mister.
And things are starting to loosen up now, they say. There's a tremendous amount of vaccine jealousy going on out there?
Someone asked me if I was getting a vaccine. I said, no freaking way. No way.
Who said that? Yeah,
Jim Brewer.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, man.
I had somebody in my life, not somebody close to me, but somebody I don't want to call the guy out, but he was over, he stopped by because he stops by to do something for me, if you understand what I mean. That's my ball washer. Okay?
Your ball washer?
He's my ball washer.
What balls does he wash?
Well, my tennis balls, my footballs, my testicles.
Goes on the balls.
All the balls get cleaned on Tuesdays around here. Scrubbing away. I sit in the bathtub.
And he knows I'm breaking his balls.
What I do is I sit on my, I strip down and I get on my all fours. And he comes behind me and cleans up in the balls region in my ass.
On your back, like a happy baby kind of pose?
Right. You know? That doesn't work. That doesn't work for me. He started just cleaning my tennis balls and my footballs and my soccer balls, getting them scrubbed down, cleaned.
Who proposed the next level of cleanse?
I said, listen, if you're doing round things, I mean, my walnuts could use a scrub every once in a while if you want to work that into your deal.
Does he drain your blueberries ever?
Yeah, he cleans our fruit. He also cleans our rounded fruit.
Yeah,
cleans our bloobs and our apples. He comes over. Anything round, this guy gets shining new. Like, it's an unbelievable service. No, but he said to me, I don't know about getting that vaccine. I'm thinking about having kids one day. And I was like, what? Oh, no. You're reading some nasty post. Some Marky post, right? Marky post from Night Court. We should get her on, Matt, and Marky Post. Tell some Jim J. Bullock stories. Is that who Jim? Yeah, thank you. No. Al Pacino is with us. Weird Al Pacino is with us for the show today. And do you ever work with Marky Post?
I never worked with Marky Post. I worked with, who did I work with? I worked with Marky David. You know Marky David?
No.
Great actor.
Okay. But, anybody from Night Court you work with?
Richard Mall.
Richard Mall. Tall son of a bitch with the
bald head. That's
right. Moose. Yeah.
I worked with
There's lots of adjusting going on here, folks. Let's take a Zoomer real quick to say hi to the gang. We also have an announcement to make that long requested by me. A actual phone number for you all to call. And we're hoping to reel in some randos. We're calling it the Hothead Hotline. We're going to bring up that right now. Bring up the Hothead Hotline scroll. The number is 818-697-8225. So if you're shy, you don't like to be seen on the Zoom, or you don't understand Zoom technology, or you're just a dope who is randomly watching this right now and wants to call and yell at me about
something.
What's
the question of the day today?
Excuse me?
Is there a question of the day?
Still
doing that?
There is a question of the day. There is a question of the day. Why do you care?
Oh. So they have something to talk about. Right? No?
Vic, I'm fully with you.
Right? I mean, I don't
but,
know.
But, you know, when you tell them the boss what we're doing on schedule.
Okay.
All right, you want to know?
He might go
what the question of the day is?
I'm just trying to help here.
You have no idea what was happening over here in this world of it. Okay. Insane. The question of the day that Vic is so eager to get to. I said I was going to take a Zoomer. Let me take a Zoomer and then explain what the question of the day is.
Our old pal, Brian Benelli.
Brian Benelli, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. I have a question.
Okay, maybe it's the question of the day. Let's find out.
Okay, well, what's the worst live show you've ever been to? The worst live concert experience?
This was going around on Twitter. Did you happen to see that?
No.
Question on Twitter. I don't want to be aping somebody else's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
How am I going to get more impressions? Twitter. What's that guy who's always on there? Eric Alper? He's always asking, what was the first song you ever heard where you noticed the bass guitar? And everyone's like, I know. I want to chime in on that.
What was it? I know mine.
Oh, it's the Kids in the Hall theme.
Mine was Another One Bites the Dust.
So, Brian, what is the worst concert you ever ever seen?
Yeah. Or live show. Yeah. Doesn't have to be like music.
Yeah.
I definitely have a memory. What's coming to me right now is the, which I've spoken to on the show about in the past, was the dinner theater production of Jesus Christ Superstar. It was pretty low on my list of live experiences with the band that consisted of a drummer, a keyboard player, and acoustic guitar, handling all the accompaniment to that very big rock orchestral sounding score. And singers who could not sing rock style. So if you had the Judas character coming up and he would sing the reprise of I Don't Know How to Love Him, where the original guy, Murray Head, guy's named Murray Head, unbelievable singer, he would have done, I don't know how to love him. That's on the record, right? Fucking guy in New Hope, Pennsylvania dinner theater goes, hi, Jim. Like, it fucking sucked. What about you, Al? Worst concert you've ever seen?
I think it was the 1983 Academy Awards.
Mm.
Ben Kingsley won, gave a really boring speech. I forget who else won that year, but that's all I remember was
that
Ben.
That must be. Does that count as a performance? Or?
Of course.
It's a live experience, yeah.
Live? I mean,
yeah, do those events ever get a little old?
Like, they get a little tedious.
Yeah?
I was accused of sleeping at the Golden Globes the other day. I was not sleeping.
What was going on there?
My shoes were tied together.
Okay.
My daughter, she came over and tied my shoes together, and I said, I kept looking down on them. I said, how am I going to get out of this one?
Oh, terrible. I don't know. I guess untie the shoes, huh?
If I could reach that far.
Brian, the question of the day, you guessed incorrectly, is, seen any good movies lately? Seen any good movies lately, Brian?
I have. And maybe Mr. Pacino could get tied into this, because I know he's good friends with the late Charles Laughton.
Oh, that's right.
And just rewatched Night of the Hunter.
Oh, great movie.
Charles Laughton's only directorial effort, and it was widely panned at the time, and now it's regarded as a classic. And I just want to know if Mr. Pacino has any, did Charlie Laughton ever tell him, like, you know, was he ever disappointed? Did he ever, you know?
Charlie was never disappointed in me. And you got to remember what he once told me. You cannot paint a mustache on a Rembrandt and be considered a painter. All right?
All right.
Now, look, I've seen a lot of movies recently. I saw this No Man's Land.
No Man's Land.
That's right. Yeah. Frances McDormand looking around in the distance. What is she looking for? Her lines?
Ooh,
I think she forgot a script. That script was 413 pages.
Really?
But they whittled it down to 92 pages because she doesn't remember most of her lines.
That's interesting.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It was very, very good. Very well done.
It was all right. How about Hillbilly Elegy?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, what a pile of garbage.
Oh, shit.
I've seen better acting on Hee Haw.
All right, sir.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir, Doug.
The other day I was on YouTube checking out.
All right, let's take another, seeing
what movies they had on there.
Yeah.
And I got to the end of the list and it said, see more, show more.
Yeah. You know,
I hit the show more and there was a movie called Super Fast, which is a parody of like Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay.
2015. And
how was that?
I challenge you to watch it. And by the way, it's enjoyable.
Any
I laughed
names in it
a
that
lot
you, that we would know. Any
it's like there's jokes like nonstop in it,
mm-hmm.
and they're one in every 10 will make you laugh. So it has more laughs than your average comedy, I would say.
I speaking of well, I the movie
I challenge
I,
you to watch.
I want
to
see that.
The movie I watched two movies. As you know, I'm a big-time celebrity
Rainbow
Hollywood movie star, so I get sent the screeners, which is a blessing and a great gift, and I never take it for granted.
Oh, is that when they send you the screeners that are like movies that are already on Netflix, but they send
that's,
you a
That's
DVD?
Become the new joke, is that all these, they're sending the DVDs of something that you have on Netflix or Hulu or something, but the one I watched the other night, which was very, very good, Al, you'd appreciate this because the acting was sublime, uh-huh. is the movie called The Father.
I haven't seen it.
And The Father is Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, great actor.
Yeah, you know Tony?
Yeah, I know Tony.
You ever hang out with Tony?
I've been over to his house sometimes. He's a great piano player, actually. Ever see him play the piano?
No.
Oh, pull up some video of that.
Not right now.
Okay.
But this is a very disturbing, very well done movie about an older gentleman, Anthony Hopkins, with suffering from Alzheimer's. And it's very well done.
I might have that.
The movie I didn't care
like
for
riot.
That I watched as well was Coming to America. Coming to America.
Naya.
But that was a big swing and a miss. All right, let's take another call.
One, two.
Yvette, can you unmute, please?
Why was it a swing and a miss, Tim?
Hello.
Hello, Yvette. How are you?
Yeah, I want to know.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
You're excited? I'm excited. It's a party.
Big Office Hours fan. I'm also a fellow Glendalean, so.
A fellow what?
Also a Glendale native.
Oh, wow. That's why the latency is so small, so low. It's
so,
like you're right here.
I have an excellent documentary rec I just watched the other night, actually.
We've seen
it's
them all.
Court Shit. Are you familiar?
Court Shit?
Court Shit.
What? Court Shit?
Is that your Dane Cook joke?
To court courtship. Courtship. Yeah. It's about a young woman. I think they are in Michigan somewhere, and she is in her 30s and saving herself for, you know, her one true love. But their belief is you cannot even kiss until you're going to get married.
Right. These are religious people?
Yes. Yes.
And where can we find this documentary?
Is it A Courtship? Is that what it is?
What's it called?
Is it called A Courtship?
A Courtship, okay. Yeah. It's on Amazon, but it's really interesting because she leaves her family home to move in with this other couple who she calls her spiritual parents.
Wow.
And it gets real weird. There's like her spiritual father figure is quite a character. I think you guys would appreciate him.
All right. We'll check it out.
I DJed a wedding for a couple that never kissed before. They weren't allowed to be in the same room together. They held hands. It's a choice. They never held hands together before.
I
tongue kissed my wife first night we met.
Did you play wet ass pussy at the wedding?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
I Frenched my wife first night. Full French. And some more, by the way.
Shit.
And a lot more.
Y'all
think
first kiss? That's my question.
Ooh. First kiss? Well, I was pleasuring myself to my first kiss the other night. Memories.
She was asking how, though.
Fantasizing of it. I do remember it was some girl, and I remember it was a big decision. We were going to meet and kiss. And this was in college. But I think I was freshman in high school or middle, in eighth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. Yeah, it was fifth grade, whatever. And this broad had braces. It was a big, weird scene, French kissing her.
Broad.
Well,
this woman.
Tim, your girl. Teeth, your tongue doesn't go near the braces part, typically, right?
Show's getting very personal.
She wants to know.
What's that?
Al, who was your first kiss?
Oh, my first kiss was Tuesday Weld. she was in the show The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, and you could see that probably somewhere.
That's a good one.
Al, do you have any experiences or people or relationships or anything in your life that's not showbiz related, or is it entirely wrapped up in the business?
Oh, showbiz, baby. Welcome to the club. You're in Hollywood now, big boy.
All right, listen. We're way off course. We do need to get to the city of the day because it is one of the most popular segments of the show. Thank you so much for calling.
City of the day.
See you at Mario's.
City of the day. Ain't much more to say.
The city of the day is... Anyone want to guess? Anyone want to wager a guess in the chat? Any chatters want to say what the city of the day is? Does anyone have...
Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Huh?
Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
No, it is.
I got arrested on a gun charge.
Sheboygan?
There.
Fort Myers, Florida. Fort Myers, Florida. Don't know much about Fort Myers, Florida.
Never been.
By the way, City of the Day is sponsored. We have an interesting sponsor today. City of the Day is sponsored by the Toilet Kiln for Influencers. Are you a TikTok, YouTube, or Clubhouse influencer looking to make a big, stinky pile of money? Well, thanks to the Toilet Kiln, it's never been easier to turn shit into gold. The Toilet Kiln allows you to sell extremely personal merchandise directly to your fans with virtually no effort at all, unless you're constipated. Just pop a squat, lay down a coiler in the commode, then lock the seal and flip the switch, and voila! The Toilet Kiln sanitizes and bakes your loaf into a unique piece of memorabilia your fans will cherish forever. Let people purchase a piece of you by visiting the toiletkiln.poo, and in no time, you'll transform the bowl of brown into a pile of green. This is why we get no respect on this show. All this potty humor. Damn it. Use offer code PAYDIRT and get free samples of our patented multicolor non-toxic tie-dye tablets that will make your merchandise even more vibrant. Warning, do not urinate into the toilet kiln. It will liquefy your genitals. Do not want that. I don't know, guys. Not a lot of smiles in the Zoom room tonight. Like by the way, if you stick around into the after hours today, I believe we're going to be reviewing some discarded commercials, correct, Matt?
Yeah.
What
do you call it?
Is that today?
The chopping block.
These are, so. We all pitch commercial ideas, and some do not even rise to that level where it gets used. There's lots of ideas that get discarded on the show. We're going to pick a couple in the after hours and debate whether they deserve to be on the chopping block. Controversy creates conversation, ladies and gentlemen.
There's some good ones that I got.
Hi, this is Vic Berger here. And you know I don't like stress. That's why I'm personally inviting you to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious meals. Every Factor meal is fresh and never frozen. It's chef-created, dietitian-approved, and it's ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I tried the chef's choice meal plan, and it was a chef's kiss of meals that hit all the spots and filled our bellies at the Berger household. I know you're asking yourself, what were Vic Berger's favorites? Creamy Dijon pork tenderloin and garlic herb salmon. These are classic dishes that are ready to go with no cleanup and not a problem at all. So get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals and get back to doing what you love this spring. Now, these are premium meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Sign up now! Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50. OFFICEHOURS50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
There's some, Doug is going to be very defensive, so so join us for after hours where Doug will defend his honor and his brain, his creativity. I do want to address something very quickly because people have been asking me all day yesterday about what's happening with Andrew Callaghan and All Gas, No Breaks. I have nothing to do with that situation in terms of, we are doing something with him and it's very exciting that I can't talk about, but as far as the split that is going on with All Gas and him, it appears to be some kind of issue with him and the All Doing Things Media, who sort of is the company that started that. So I don't, people are asking me, I don't really have a lot of answers for you, and it certainly has nothing to do with the business that Eric and I are doing with him. And I guess with, I don't know. I'm just saying, leave me out of it. I know nothing about it. It's nothing I'm in control of. So that's all I have on that. Does that clear things up, Matt? Crystal,
sure,
right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Put your hand down in the Zoom if that was your
question. Yeah, I don't want to. I knew people were going to ask me about it, so I just don't want to get into it. I don't. First of all, I got burned last week when I so-called ratted out Jay Johnston on to the FBI.
Oh, you're snitch. Because
I was some, I was a snitch and I was a rat. Just because somebody asked and I said, it is him. It was confirmed. Sorry. What like do you want
they,
me to
like,
say?
Like they wouldn't have found him without you. You know, like
these people are the worst. Guys on TV. Man. You
know, is he? What's up? What's
I don't the know latest the latest. I don't have anything to do with it. Know. I'm out of it.
Tim's pulling the strings behind the scenes. I'm. For the FBI.
I have so much. Everyone, people, deep they have so much Tim. Control over the everything that goes on. Like I'm John Podesta or something. the puppet master in the comedy world.
Code in your emails and everything.
I really have no clue. I'm just a helpless guy. It's a trying to raise letdown. A daughter and so, a son.
I mean, that guy has made me laugh so hard through the
Jay?
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. It, the whole thing is, the more that's going to come out, you'll find it's the whole thing's quite sad. Really.
You know who was a rat was Johnny Depp's character, Donnie Brasco.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was a real rat.
That's true. Yeah.
I hate rats.
That was a true story too, right?
Very true.
What about...
Oh,
what about so, your brother in Godfather 2, Fredo? Would you consider him a rat or just a traitor?
He was a son of a bitch, you know. John Cazale, great actor, though.
Oh, yeah, the greatest.
Died way before his time.
Let me show you something. This is exciting. Anybody paying attention to the musical side here? We have Slaps, Bops, and Bangers just received a plaque.
Hoorah!
What did we do? Did Tim, did we go platinum or what?
Well, this is what it says. This came from the company that made the cassette. It says, Office Hours Live presents Slaps, Bops, and Bangers, December 18th, 2020, the ultimate music compilation. No indication of any kind of numbers on there. This is not
pounding.
This is not what you'd consider like a gold record. They just do this. They make you a little plaque if you order
platinum. The tape.
Yeah. Over 100 ordered. Is that what you
over
said?
100 ordered by us.
Manufactured. Yeah, right.
But you can buy them currently at where? At officialofficehours.com.
Well, they're
Band camp, right?
Oh, they're
coming
sold out.
Back soon. Yeah. We're doing another run.
Well, maybe we can amend this to say officially sold out.
It's a waste of a tape, though, on the plaque there. You could have listened to it.
Two tapes.
All right, let's take another Zoomer. Or, Matt, would you like... It is the bottom of the hour, which means we're going to go to the Hothead Hotline. See if what's going on there. This will be the inaugural turn to the Hothead Hotline.
Okay.
Somebody's got to call in. Anyone calling?
It could be a big bust.
Might be. We've got some voicemails. Oh, is it ringing? Is this going to be... You want to listen to a voicemail?
Well, bear with us. Is there someone calling in? You can't tell.
It would be ringing.
Hello?
You know
where am I?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's just sending them straight to voicemail.
Okay, well, it's a big bust.
There were hours and hours spent preparing this. Right in the
let's take a Zoomer as we try to solve that. Oh, you just told me I can't go from Hothead Hotline to Zoomer.
I can get back. All right. Well, this is like a call because he doesn't have they don't have the camera. It's not the radio. Is this a bit? What is this? It's not the radio.
It's not the radio. Are you there?
Oh, there we go.
Hello?
Hello?
What are you, five?
Actually, I'm a caveman. I live in a cave, but that's... It doesn't matter right now.
What?
Tell me about it. But that's that does matter. You are actually a caveman?
Yeah, I live inside of a cave.
Right.
It's not great, but you know, it's a living.
What the hell is going on?
Wait a
here?
Minute now. We finally get a good call, and we're getting interrupted
what's
here.
What's going on there?
Oh my god.
Well, okay.
I'm a big fan of Tim and Eric. Awesome show. Great job.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
Tom goes to the mayor.
Hell yeah! What's your real name? Or what's your name?
I don't know.
Jeez. I hear that, bruh. Where are you calling from? Where is your cave located?
I'm not sure. I really don't know. I was just like, I was born and I was in a cave and that was it.
I think this might be my son.
So, have you been listening to Office Hours for a long time, or is this you a new listener?
I'm a new listener. Once I found out, I was very excited because it's actually really cool. So
it is cool, actually. So you're right in a way. Are you familiar with Al Pacino? Do you know who Al Pacino is?
No.
What's wrong with you? No. Oh, you're getting now mad.
Have you ever seen The Godfather?
Yes.
He plays Michael Corleone, the eventually sort of the son of the Don.
Holy shit.
What's your language around this kid?
I'm the reason movies exist, pal.
What about Dog Day Afternoon, kid?
What?
Dog Day Afternoon.
Never heard of it.
I'll tell you what, if you want to start with my movies, start with Arthur, and then go for it, and Justice for All, right?
Okay. Son, what else is going on?
I don't, honestly, I have no idea what's going on.
I hear that.
But I've been watching, I watch a lot of Adult Swim, and that's pretty much it. All sit right. on the
do,
couch.
Do you go to caveman school?
No. I don't have an I smash rocks together, and that's how I learn.
That's how you learn? What do you learn from smashing rocks together? How to avoid hitting your thumbs?
Yeah. You know.
Do you have a cave mom or a cave dad?
No. I'm the only caveman who lived out the ice age.
Wow.
Sucked.
What do you eat in the cave?
Sucked?
I eat berries. I order food. I order pizzas every once in a while.
Okay. All right.
You know.
I recognize
like early
this voice.
Office hours, but the bings and the bongs.
The bings and bongs are what back. Is that? Well, that listen, caveman. Well, I'm going to call you. You're officially
caveman kid.
You know, he's cave boy.
Cave boy.
Cave boy.
Great first call.
Thank you for calling in.
Go stupid.
Hello.
Go crazy.
Hello.
Yes, cave boy. Call in next week. Okay.
Holy all right. shit.
Will do.
So loud.
I know. What was that?
Is that Matt?
That so loud.
I don't know.
That's Matt's
house. No, it wasn't.
See ya.
See ya, dude.
Someone, maybe Cave Boy's doing
it. Cave Boy's got his own everyone drop loves Cave Boy. Let's hear it for Cave Boy.
Great call from Cave Boy.
Big first call. Came in strong. Man.
I recognize that voice. That's actually my agent, John Campisi from CAA.
Okay, really? Your agent sounds like a 9-year-old
boy.
He's
young. He's young.
Do we want to try a hotline, Matt, now that the phone's ringing off the hook?
Yeah, let me. Give me one sec. Sorry.
Wow. Listen, I don't know if this is this show's any good. I know last week's show was a fucking all-timer. So what do I give a shit about?
Hey, fucking show. Hey, yo, Al, you want to come over? I got, a Guy Fieri cooking for everybody.
That's right. Well,
it's a bad sketch between Al Pacino and Sly Stallone.
Hey, yo, Al, you know... We were going up against each other when I was doing Rocky and you were doing whatever you were doing.
You told me that I should wear two scarves, and look at me now.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to ask you about...
Two scarves, baby.
Al, you're wearing two scarves.
That's what all the cool kids are doing these days, you know?
Well, we could try calling
hello?
Them back. Let's see what happens then.
One, two...
You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, I want to talk to Al.
Yeah, you're speaking with him, pal. What do you want?
Yeah, hey, buddy, this is the guy who set up the Zoom for you at the awards show.
Oh, my God, this guy. Where'd you leave the tree?
I'm sitting in front of you. Look, I'm sitting in front of you at the Zoom. You're falling asleep right in front of my face.
Hang up on this asshole. I don't care. I don't want to hear about his shtick no more.
I do not like
this
guy.
We're canceling the Hothead Hotline.
Get him out of here.
We're canceling it. I want to talk to Brandon Tinkleberg. Brandon Tinkleberg.
We got another hothead, I think.
Hello. Oh, okay. No. Brandon, matched, you're on with a hothead.
What's up?
We're taking
long-time
a hothead.
Listener. First time caller. Really like the hothead. Yeah. Keep flushing him.
Keep flushing him.
Hello?
Right. Hello. Who's this?
Hi, this is Terry. I wanted to answer your question about if you've seen any good movies lately.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have not.
There you go. I think we're all feeling that way.
A long time ago I did, though. A long time ago I saw some pretty sure. okay ones, but it's fantastic been a while.
Well, name one.
Al asked you to name one, but I'm not as interested
as he is. I don't pay attention to... I don't like to label things like that.
Fair enough.
They're all
we'll see tonight.
They're all good for the most part. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
you
not
know
an
what?
Expert.
You got to lower your expectations with these movies. Although I have to say, I felt like the Coming to America movie. I felt like there was a fundamental lack of like they had forgotten how to make movies or something.
Did you see the first one?
I was thinking the exact same thing. I
love the original, but I didn't see that.
Yeah, what's that, Matt?
I was thinking, like, did they just forget how to make movies because they also were using multiple flashbacks?
Right. Well,
they would cut to the
original. Yeah.
Well, what was interesting about showing the flat? There's a period in the movie where they really spent a long time actually flashing back to understand what's going on, and it comes at this point in the movie about halfway through. Where it forces you to remember that the first movie is actually pretty good. You see these scenes. I sound like Tim Pool there for a second when he's like, I just said something that's going to blow your mind. No, but it's like, oh, that's a well-constructed, well-executed movie, that Coming to America. This new one is just a mess. And it has that feeling of like the movies my kids watch, which are just like nonstop sound and just throw everything at the goddamn wall. Of course, until you get to the barbershop scene, which is always going to be good and made me laugh out loud. And I said, is there going to be another one of these scenes? Because if not, I'm out. Because otherwise, the movie's shit.
Fuck off!
But
I liked that penis chopping scene, too. That made me laugh.
Penis chopping scene?
No.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like...
Do you want me to do the penis thing?
Cut the tape.
All right, are we flushing the Hothead Hotline for now? We'll come back to it later.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the Hothead Hotline.
Let's take one more.
No one asked, but I can't.
Sorry, I just hung up on this.
I want to say something to the Zoomers. Mm-hmm. I'm not abandoning you. I don't want you to feel like, oh, fuck it, man. I just might as well bail on Zoom. We're going to get to you like we try to do every week. We're going to get to every Zoomer like we do every week.
Hothead, are you on? 850?
Oh, fuck!
Hello, 850.
Yes, it's me.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, this is Hothead Fred calling from Florida.
Uh-oh, Hothead Fred's back. What's up, buddy?
Well, I wanted to call to discuss Jack and Jill, my buddy Al Pacino.
Oh, that's right. But great movie.
When I saw Al, it became clear to me that it was not Al Pacino.
What?
It's clearly Tom Petty. So I wanted to request a song. Free Falling, please. Can you do Free Falling?
You're saying that our Al Pacino impersonator looks like Tom Petty? How dare you?
What are you, a real comedian over
Petty.
Here?
I don't think it looks like him. That clearly is Tom Petty.
Tom Petty's dead, friend.
I don't know.
I'm alive,
Hothead,
baby.
Friend, why don't you go drown yourself in the Gulf of Mexico?
Go get eaten by a shark.
Free Falling, please. American Girl, at the very least. Thank you, guys.
Get him out of here! Flush him, Matt.
Son of a bitch. Fuck off.
Son of a bitch. Fuck off.
You dumb bastard.
Dumb bastard.
You should write for Cracked Magazine.
Yeah, really.
You want another one? We got another one coming.
One more, and then we got to move on to our Zoomers and to our special guests and everybody else.
I forgive you.
931, you're on the line.
Hello.
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 931. That's how many pages No Man's Land script was.
Yeah. Yes.
How's it going, big guy?
Yeah. What's up, bro? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Tony Iota.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Hello, baby.
What can I do for you today?
Well,
you got some shit to stir?
Basically, I just want to throw something at you. You remember the movie Eight Legged Freaks?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Great movie.
So basically what I want to throw at you is a sequel called 40 Toad Anomalies.
40 Toad Anomaly? Get him out of here! Flush this hothead! I got to say that the hothead hotline is drawing out the dims. We're like, oh, phone number! I'll call that number with my phone! I know how to dial numbers!
They just want to try out their bad bits.
Caroline in the Zoom. What the hell's going on?
Hello.
Oh, wait, sorry. Well, go ahead. Let's go to Caroline. Sorry, I dropped somebody else. But Mr. Bald with the glasses on.
Hi.
Mr. Bald.
Say what you see.
It would be great if I had the names on my screen,
right.
But I don't.
Mr. Bald.
I don't have a Mr. You know what's so funny? Before the show, Matt says, listen, the only thing that's going to be tricky is going from Zoom to Hothead Hotline. You know, that's going to take a little. I'm like... Oh, no problem, buddy. I'll be fine with that. I'm a pro.
Those ringers
now
are going to
just right away. I'm just like, let's go back to Zoom now.
Brandon, you're on.
Next questions.
Hey, I have a movie. I watched this documentary recently called Honeyland.
Honeyland, and I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And it was like filmed in northern Macedonia with these like indigenous like beekeepers. And the filmmakers couldn't speak the language. And they were thinking of like having the film being completely untitled, like no subtitles whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
It's like really, yeah, just a really emotional roller coaster.
Let me ask you a question. Does anybody at work or school ever call you Mr. Bald?
I'm a recent bald man.
Oh, pardon me.
And I'm
What happened? Were you, was it full?
I just got tired of hair, really. Like,
well, let's lean down. Let me see what's going on the top of that dome. So, okay, I could see that. I could see you. I mean, it's receding for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You know Phil Braun, but
yeah, but you know, there's a lot of hot bald men nowadays.
I agree. Look at.
Yeah.
I was pleasuring myself to Jeff Bezos the other night.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner.
Yeah. So I
Telly Savalas.
Yeah. But I thought I could pull off the bald look because I was just tired of doing my hair and shit.
Yeah, you look smart and cool.
Hey, thanks, man.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a PhD student.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Are you in a bird sanctuary or?
What's your thesis going to be? What's your big?
It's on animal cognition, actually. So it's funny that Doug mentioned birds. Yeah.
Are those your birds and your sound, or is that some other birds?
I think that's.
Is that your birds, Vic?
Now it's me. I'm mixing it in, but I did hear birds before. Before
Weird
that, I heard
birds living in his mouth.
No, there's no birds now.
It's a real bird brain.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, let's. Shh.
Animal listen. Cognition.
See?
Yeah. So not like, me.
Show us those birds.
So like,
burying
you know,
the lead.
And I want to come here and make bird noises.
Yeah. So like, for instance, with birds, there's you know, there's been like really interesting ways in which bird songs are like culturally learned. So like, you know, different birds in different regions will pick up and like, you know, change their tune based on whose bird, you know, which bird songs are around.
Hmm.
And yeah, so there's
I'd be like Michael Barbaro. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's like,
you talk
like,
and
I'll trends go. And like, you know, there's like weird things where like, you know, even examples of like maybe fashion, you know, so like some, there's like groups of chimpanzees that really enjoy putting grass in their left ear for like no apparent reason. They just all like one guy started doing it and they just all started doing it.
Do you ever work with crickets?
No.
Sorry, I'm talking about so much masturbating today, but it's always funny to think about Michael Barbaro like whacking it while he's talking to these people like yes birds. And Brandon, at what point did you decide that you want to study birds and their cognition and their cultural significance?
Well, answer him.
What's the
finish.
Question
when did you get into birds?
finish the story.
God,
Wally. Sorry.
Wally.
No, that's Wally. Actually interesting. And I've been telling the guys, let's get some PhD candidates on. Let's get some smarties, not these indie rocker mopey dopes.
They never write me back. I try.
I know. Let's get some scientists and people table. That know about the world. Let's learn. Let's educate ourselves. Let's become more enlightened. So what does that say? What does this tell us, these birds that know everything, so that suddenly learn how to sing? What does it tell us about who we are?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, we usually think that, like, what makes us unique as humans is our capacity for culture. So, like, you know, for instance, we're the only animals on Earth that have, like, literature and movies and art. But, you know, if we think of culture in a way, and maybe in a way that, like, allows for more diversity and kind of, like, look for, like, signs of commonalities across the animal kingdom, maybe we can understand a little bit more about ourselves as well as understanding, getting a deeper understanding on other animals. So like, for instance, when we, like when we put animals in zoos, yeah. you know, and we I think that a lot of our motivations are good because we are, you know, wanting to conserve, you know, endangered yeah. species and the like.
And educate ourselves about these animals.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, if you like ripped a human out of their culture, you know, and like, you know, put them on display, then you're kind of like, it would seem like you're ripping a huge part of what makes us human. And so if other animals like are connected to like, you know, inherited knowledge the way that we are, then we maybe need to reassess the
ways. Does that make you, are you a vegan?
No.
Doug, you got words for this mope?
Well, I'm going to say this is one of the best Zoom callers we've ever had.
I agree. Down.
Oh, shit.
First time or two.
Mr. Bald.
Yeah.
Mr. Bald, followed by who came after Cave Boy, which is a hard act to follow. So congratulations
and
to you,
Tim,
Brandon.
I'm going to start putting grass in my ear.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start that trend in the ears. Human.
Well, you have to at this point. I put the fake stuff in my ear.
Tim, let's start wearing grass in our ear.
Okay, we've got our special guests. Brandon, you are a special guest. Cave Boy is definitely a special guest, but we have our confirmed special guests with us. And this is exciting. Let's bring them in the room here. Not only do we have Andrew Bird, but we have Jimbo Mathis with us today. And let's see if they can say, can you say hi, boys?
Hello.
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 Hey.
Jimbo here.
Jimbo.
Hey, it's Andrew.
And Andrew Bird. Andrew Bird with the menacing angle. He's going to, like, Andrew, am I a Thanksgiving dinner that you're about to eat? Is that what's going on here?
Do I look like I'm about to pounce?
It looks like you're about to strangle me.
Oh. Well.
Can you, let's.
I'm not having.
This come in. Give me a big slap in the face. That's good. Okay. Let's see how Jimbo looks. Jimbo. Jimbo.
Yes, I'm here.
Can you speak? Why can't I only
I'm
see?
I'm here. I should be here.
Oh, there you are. See now that look. You look fine. You look.
Am I okay?
Not guilty. What is that? Is that a George Harrison reference you got on your head there?
No, it's from New Orleans on Carrollton Street in New Orleans.
Is that where you are right now?
No, I'm in Mississippi, but it's a souvenir from Carrollton Street.
I love it. It's a big hat. It's a big hat.
Yeah.
Tim, Mr. Bird and Mr. Pacino have similar scarf styles.
Oh, does he have a scarf on?
Yeah.
Where'd you get your scarf, pal?
Andrew, are you wearing a scarf?
I am wearing a scarf, yeah.
Little, I see it. See, you look good. And you got the pro mic?
Pro mic. It's in the frame. Yeah. Let me get that out of the frame.
Listen, I don't know what you know about this show, but I know you know who I am. So you know it's going to be a little stupid and silly. You know, I get nervous around the serious musicians because you guys, you know, we should be treating you seriously and with great respect. But it's hard for me to do.
I'll consider you a serious musician.
Tim. Oh, thank you very much. That's what I was fishing
for. I
agree. Yeah?
And didn't we do a gig together in L.A. one time?
Did we?
At that art gallery?
No,
that was us.
Beggars Group.
Didn't he do on that gig?
With what's his name? Who put out the book?
Rubens photography book, yes.
Oh, yeah, and you played at that too, Jimbo?
Yeah.
That sucked for me, by the way.
No. You slayed it, dude. No. I was laughing my ass off on your song.
I'm pissing the summer. I mean, that united the room.
Well, I think the problem with it was a very cool house with very cool people wherever you looked. It was a house party. And Ruben was putting this art book out, and he asked me to come and play some songs. And I just thought, like, do you want somebody to come and play music at this thing? Because it's like, it's a party, and everybody wants to just, back in the days when you could go out, people just want to, like, talk and drink and eat, and they don't want to sit and listen to me. And that's what kind of happened. They had a nice little semicircle of people listening to me, but it was, you know, it was a party. So I just felt like, why should I, you don't want me. But Jimbo, did you feel that way, or you don't care?
Dude, I was having the time of my life listening to your songs.
And I had no idea.
I just put two and two together, because you're the guy that Bird and I played the show with that day.
This just came, and it just came to me, too.
Yeah, And I freaking loved it, man.
Oh, geez. I wasn't expecting this at all. What a treat. The reason you guys are on the show, just so people understand, is you guys just put out a album together called, what is it called, 13 songs? No.
These 13.
Just 13.
These 13. These 13, yeah.
Who wants to tell me, therefore my audience, about this record? Because it's I loved it. I listened to it last night, and it's currently now listenable anywhere you listen to music. And it's a beautiful little record.
Thank you.
Andrew?
Thank you.
Who wants to speak on behalf of the record?
I could start. What do you want to know, Tim?
Well, it's the two of you, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the idea. I mean, I've always wanted to make a record with just me and Jimbo, nobody else, just fiddle and guitar. And for about the last 20-some years since I've known Jimbo. So finally got around to it. And we wrote all these songs together. That was what was a little more unexpected, is how much we collaborated on the songwriting. And I just think Jimbo's got something, you know, in his musicianship that's lost in the whole musical vernacular. It's there's little phrasing things he does and idiosyncrasies that are go back to pre-war,
right?
Country blues and early country that I think is so. It's all kind of been ironed out since the advent of the recording industry.
Yeah, the record, I mean, the record's folk, you know, very sparse, but it's very folky and the songs, are they original songs? They're original songs.
Yeah, they're all original.
Because they do sound of a totally different era. It sounds like, you said, like kind of pre-war app. What would you call it? I was going to say Appalachians in some ways, but.
That, it has that influence, yeah, and Delta blues, the deep Mississippi Delta blues. I'm speaking to you from Mississippi right now.
So you're the real deal. You're not one of these interlopers, one of these carpetbaggers.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, yeah, correct. But Andrew and I have always been such kindred spirits, even though he's from Illinois, I'm from Mississippi. There's a connection there. You know, and it can't be replicated.
How do you guys know each other in an interest? Were you guys both in the Squirrel Nut Zippers?
Well, Jimbo started the band. I joined I sort of didn't fully join, but I played on some records and did some tours.
Were you a part of the big, like at the moment that group kind of blew up?
Yeah, nice. Like I was playing
well-timed
at a festival in North Carolina. Yeah, and I gave Jimbo a cassette tape of me playing some hot jazz fiddle, some gypsy jazz.
Yeah.
He invited me to sit in with him in Chicago, and then 2 weeks later we were in New Orleans at Kingsway making Hot, which is
we got the plane ticket.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you
explain? And then I cut Thrills with Andrew, you know, his first Bowl of Fire record. And also, Oh the Grandeur, you know, it's a great record as well.
Can I just dial in on the Squirrel Nut Zippers for 1 second? Can you process or explain the... Because it was like this weird moment when suddenly you guys were huge. And how did that happen? Did it come out of nowhere? Was it sort of like hard work? Were you surprised by it? And you know what I mean? Like, how did you guys intersected with this weird time where that just all connected?
Yeah, all of the above. It was hard work. It was weird timing. But a lot of just study and a lot of roots on my side from growing up in the Deep South, learning the ragtime, the blues.
Yeah.
And then I was wanting to educate myself, you know. I taught myself Latin, you know, in North Carolina, so I could write songs better.
Wow. You know, how did that help you write songs?
The wheel lock, you know, the whole, because the meter, the rhythm, the roots of the English language is Latin and Germanic. You know, it's a Romantic language. And so, I mean, I was a great Latin translator, you know, just as a hobby, you know, so I could learn how to write folk, country, blues. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but it's true.
It's amazing. Can you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but we all love hearing a little Latin, right, Vic?
Well, I'd have to get my own old Wheelock grammar out on that.
I understand. What else? something for you, Andrew. I was thinking last night what we could, there's so many things to talk about with you, but I also asked Vic, whose wife is named Anne. I said, can we do something fun for the crowd? And what Anne did, she did something very sweet for everybody. Andrew Bird. How do you like that?
Very nice. Aww.
Yeah.
Andrew, did that make you smile?
It did, you know. My Aww. Sister's name is Anne, so I got that a lot. We Andrew a picture, yeah.
She's heard it before.
Do you want me to get this to you so you can have it for your home?
Overnight. Please. Yeah.
Yeah, we can overnight it. Or get a carrier pigeon to send it over.
Then we can send it up the Mississippi River.
So, Andrew, are you like a big time actor now? What's going on with this this Fargo?
That came out of nowhere. No, I had no ambitions to be an actor.
How whatsoever. Did it really come out of nowhere? Like, how did you get into that?
Noah Hawley just saw me play a show in Austin and thought I would make a good funeral director.
I mean, I can see it. You did a great job.
Persona. Oh, thanks. It was a wild adventure, the whole thing.
Was it hard? And did you feel like, what am I doing?
Yeah. I had so much time to prepare and to freak out about it. And I remember asking all my actor friends, like, what? I want some nuts and bolts, like, help with this.
Oh, I bet that went over well with those people.
No, they're just like, just don't. You know, John C. Reilly was just like, don't underestimate the power of editing.
Oh, God. I mean, everything I do is saved in that world. I can't get one sentence through without flubbing and screwing it. Did they make you audition or did they just said you're in?
No, there's no audition. It was just, do you want it or not? And they had to, you know, he had to talk me into it. It was kind of, you know, it would be like horrifying and boring at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Did the other actors look at you with the side eye? Like, come on, man, this is a fucking joke. You're bringing this guy in after all the years
I assumed there would be that attitude, and maybe they did a good job of hiding it because everyone was pretty supportive, but yeah. I assumed I felt like an imposter for sure. But
well, you played it off nicely, and Noah's right. You have a great presence on camera.
Thank you.
No one ever sees a guy acting, and they're like, you know, get him in my band. Let's put him on stage tonight. He's lead guitarist. Come on, you could try it. You could do it.
That's what I thought when I first met Andrew.
I mean, Jimbo should be the one on the big silver screen.
He's got charisma.
He's got a character. He's a character. He could play anybody. Well,
that's what I thought when I first met Andrew. You know,
I should. You know what? I'm going to write you something, Jimbo, and you can leave Andrew Bird in the dust.
A Jimbo vehicle.
Yeah. It's just going to be called Jimbo. Al Pacino's going to be in it, too, as your mentor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Let's work together on something. Call my agent.
No, he doesn't need to call your agent. That won't do any good. All right, guys. I appreciate you guys calling in, and also I appreciate your talents. And, Andrew, thank you for having me on your show a couple years ago. That was an honor to do.
Yeah, thank you.
And what are you gonna get back out there? I mean, what are you gonna do? You're gonna play some shows? You're gonna get out there and get something on the books? What's your plan?
I mean, we're gonna do another live stream. Me and Jimbo's gonna come out from Mississippi, and we're gonna do a a live stream April 11th. But as far as live shows, you know, we're just...
You're not jumping back into that.
Very few people are.
Right.
I mean, it's we're just keeps getting kicked down the road, but it'll happen.
Have you enjoyed this time to be at home?
More than I expected. I usually go through withdrawal from, you know, playing shows. You know, I get kind of depressed without that thrill of performing.
Yeah.
That's
why I do this show.
I managed to... Right.
Sorry. That was an amazing... Because that was Jimbo, and then it was Doug.
Wow.
It was this weird feedback. I know.
But yeah, it's been, you know, I haven't missed it as much as I thought I would. You know, I've just been really busy though. I mean, the Fargo thing was happening even during the pandemic.
Right.
And I've been just plowing through my catalog, playing old songs in the morning and, you know, after coffee, not instead of rock time, it's just, you know, morning when I'm at my best anyway. So.
Do you ever find you have like hours to kill in the day that you don't know what to do? Or are you a guy that keeps yourself busy?
As long as I'm physically able, I keep pretty busy.
What about you, Jimbo? Do you waste away the days?
No, I definitely make the most out of the daylight. You know, I'm a self-starter, you know. So
I find myself lying in bed a lot.
If I'm not creating, I'm not being me.
I mean, I lie in bed quite a bit, but I'm working. Sometimes I'll be writing or doing something, you know, talk. But being in bed that's where Brian Wilson was. He got a lot of good stuff done in bed. I don't think there's any problem with, you know, lie down.
Agreed. Yes, 100%.
All right, guys, I'll let you go. A real pleasure. Jimbo, I'm glad we figured out that we actually played together. That's awesome, and I appreciate your kind words. Andrew, I hope to see you when things get back to normal. And
as do I.
It'll be wonderful to see you. Yes. All the best to you two. Their album.
Thanks, Tim.
Their album is out now. Type in Andrew Bird and it'll be right there. These 13. That's what it's called, right? These 13.
How long does it take to create an album? Because Looking for Richard took me 4 years.
Looking for Richard, what's that?
That's a movie I made about Richard III. Shakespeare, baby. Look it up.
I don't need to look it up.
It's a great movie.
Well, movies and making records are very different experiences. I mean, you've got all different... You have something like the original Beatles album that took basically one day, and then you have cut 4 years later to Sgt. Pepper, you're talking 3 months. So,
remember what Lee Strasberg said, it all starts with the text. Once you have the text, you can take it any way you want, all right?
Very good to know.
Thank you.
Al, is that film on streaming?
What do you mean, pal?
Can I pull it up on my Roku, or do I have to download it off LimeWire?
My God, where'd you get this guy from?
Now, I just want to say one thing because...
To find the movie.
You find it in the DVD store.
The DVD store.
What store is that?
Blockbuster. Where's your card?
Okay. Al, if you're interested in getting... You know, you've been given a lot of great advice from mentors of yours, Lee Strasberg and whoever.
Strasberg! Right, not Strasberg.
Now, if you're interested in hearing more from Al Pacino, we have the Al Pacino right now at patreon.com/officehourslive. Second episode just went up, and we take voicemails from you, and Al gives some life advice.
Call in with your questions.
So if anybody has any questions for Al, we could take
ideas.
It right now. Does anybody have a question for Al?
Is there a script idea for me?
And we got Jimmy and BK.
Jimmy in Brooklyn.
Hey, I grew up in the Bronx.
Up, thank you, Tim.
What's up, Jimmy?
I got a question for Al. I also want to say happy birthday to Doug. I know that's banned.
So, no. Happy birthday, Doug.
Let it end.
And hi, Vic. Hi, everybody.
Hey. What's your question?
Al,
yeah.
You got a comment on this royal family drama? What the heck is going on over there?
Oh, my God. The royal family, you know, I think about it sometimes. I'm good friends with the queen. I met her one time at a shindig.
You're good friends with the queen?
Met her once?
I met her at a party at Marty Bregman's house.
Okay.
She was very, very nice. However, you got to have... Look. The whole royal family...
Rethink this whole thing.
...is a whole rigmarole, all right? It's an old antiquated system. It reminds me of 1943. I wasn't alive then, but the studio system's very much like the royal family.
Okay, now you're getting somewhere.
All right. Look.
I got a follow-up question, by the way, too.
Go ahead.
Where am I?
He says he met the queen at a party. What kind of party was that?
That's what I'm saying. I think he went down a dead end there.
It was
I
an orgy.
No, I want to know. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Al. I'm a big fan.
You
love
got
your
it.
I watched. Did you guys watch that interview? I did. I got roped in.
I was bored by it.
I wanted to ask you, Tim, about your thoughts on it, because I'm kind of peeved about this Piers Morgan stuff. I know I saw you tweeted about it last night.
Piers Morgan, that fucking cunt.
Yeah, what hasn't been said? What hasn't been said about him?
You know what's funny? On Twitter, it has like the stories on the sideline, and yesterday it said, Piers Morgan finally breaks his silence on the... What silence? Yeah. When was he ever...
There was a day of nothing.
I don't know. Like, I watched some of that stuff. I mean, listen, there was fun... One funny thing about watching that Oprah interview was they had this one camera angle that just kept getting higher and higher. And it was like the camera guy's trying to get out of there. He's like, this is none of my business. I mean, more and more, I tend to lean on this is none of my business. What was interesting was because it was just airing live on CBS and we were just looking for something to watch, I ended up turning it on, is you couldn't fast forward and you just had to sit there and watch network television. And if anyone's done that lately, that's a fucking psychedelic trip right there. Watching what they're up to on those CBS at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. The fucking, I mean, every commercial is a pharmaceutical, commercial. Everything is like, if your anus is bleeding, there's now a solution, you know? And it's like, and there was this one, it was like this woman going hot air ballooning. It was like, that was the premise of it. And it was some like, you know, anal warts treatment or something. I don't know what it was for, but there was this woman and her family all like loading up into the hot air balloon. And like, you see how scary a hot air balloon is because these people get in the basket and that top of the basket's like up to their hip. And you're like, I'm never going on a hot air balloon. But then I guess subconsciously, like I tweeted about, I said, I don't want to pull focus on the Oprah interview, but I'm currently in a hot air balloon adrift above the Pacific Ocean, 30 miles. And I don't know how I'm going to get down.
With anal warts.
Yeah. And but you know, I guess those commercials got into my head. But I mean, listen, the royal, the kings and queens, and this is for children. That's all. Like, this is a children's mind idea of how to run a society these days, Al.
That's right.
You can't have kings and queens no more. Like, however, that's going to John Galanti's from England.
Great guy.
The merry old England, as we say. What are your thoughts on the royal family? I mean, what do you guys, got to start fucking making some moves over there with these royals. Like, it's enough, right, John? Sorry, got to unmute you here. John?
Hey, Jimmy? Yeah, I'm sick of them, man. I mean, like, it's an old racist institution, and I'm not the only person that thinks that. I think what Harry and Meghan have done is great. They've just left and they've outed it, and they've
fuck
left
off.
It very... Yeah, fuck off, mate. You know, what happened to his mother was really disgusting, and the problem here is the media. Our tabloid press won't leave them alone. And,
right. Well, the whole thing, and Oprah said it, and I said it before Oprah said it, by the way, to my wife, and she said, "Whoa, I didn't know you thought that smart." I didn't know you're that smart. Said it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
Al. They feed That's off right. each other. I mean, you don't have the tabloid press there without the royals, and you kind of don't have the royals without the tabloid press, because if they just got ignored, people would start wondering what the hell their use is. I mean, there's got to – you guys over there, you got to, like, figure out a way to transition out of that somehow without there being blood in the streets, right?
Yeah.
Sterilize the royals.
Sidney Lumet and I had a symbiotic relationship.
Sidney Lumet?
That's right, when he was doing Equus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's lots of different symbiotic relationships we could all talk about.
I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this Prince William character's got to say, all right, well, this will be the end of it. When my dad dies, I'm going to say I'm going to work at the bank. He doesn't speak like that. One must wonder if we shall continue on with this.
I say, let's give it all to the poor. How about that? Do you like that? Do you fancy that, Mama?
That's a very good British
accent. But of course they're all trapped, because what are they going to do? They can't just go, like, you know, they'd get eaten by the badgers out there if they were just let loose.
It'll be fine. They go up to Scotland, just hang around in Scotland for a bit.
Give them enough to, like, last. Sterilize them. Cut the balls off.
They all live to their.
I know.
Their hundreds as well. So in the genes, it's really good.
I do think. Let's be controversial. Let's talk about sterilizing the royal family. Like, you can either. It could be a choice. You could either. Leave, like Harry and Meghan, leave and say, I'm on my own. Luckily, my mom left me $20 million, and I'm already famous because of who I am. You can leave, and we'll give you some starter money so you can make deals with Spotify, or we will be sterilizing you. So that this ends, I'd be like this. You do this line reading. If you were Al Pacino, you're saying, this ends now. This ends here. This ends now.
We're over it. The royal family is done. I'm cutting my own balls off.
What if there's a movie? It's called like we'll figure out the title. But here's the premise: Al Pacino has been hired. He's like a lawyer. He's been hired to dissolve the royal family, and he's an American. He's like a schlubby, like a Columbo type. He's coming over, and he's been hired by the government to dismantle it.
Hamlet has got nothing on me.
What? He's like the head of some independent review board who has, and he's come to the conclusion, I'll give you the line, you do it. The whole system is corrupt.
The whole system is corrupt. What do you got?
Yeah, you got to sterilize.
You got to sterilize.
Socialize or sterilize. He's got to be, because like rhymes and stuff.
You got to realize something. This is a mockery of the court.
Okay.
Whigs and Tories.
I like that.
Get him out of here.
He's got the trench coat on, the briefcase, and he's looking through all the old English law, you know.
Oh, it says here that the entire concept of the monarchy is a farce.
It is a fraud and a farce. And that's all I got to say about that. Out of order.
You're out of order.
All right.
Montage.
John, do you think that movie would play well in Merry Old England? Nah, he's muted again.
Where are you, John?
I don't think it would work over here. Where am I in England? I'm in Hampshire.
Oh, an aristocrat.
I'm going to start calling it Merry Old England now. Right,
I can't believe what's fucking happening.
Jonathan Pryce played a great Hamlet.
Okay.
Mark Rylance, too.
Yeah. John, anything you got for me today?
What do you got for me?
I did actually have a question for you, Tim. We were watching the Valentine's special a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend, Emma, said to me, after admiring you for some time, she said, he's got such great skin.
Thank you.
What does he put on his skin? So what do you have a...
Adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome. That's
really nice. I spread it all over under my lips and my gums, under my eyes.
Okay.
No, I don't know what to tell you, pal. I don't do anything to... I wash my face with soap once a week.
Oh, right.
I don't know. I just ran out of my Kiehl's body... Matt, we got to order some of that.
You're a lucky man, Tim.
I had my Kiehl's. No, I don't do anything to my face. I'm blessed with my, you know, you've seen my parents. They both look quite young. I got royal blood.
Live to 100. All right. No, I haven't got anything for you, I'm afraid, man.
No, you did. You had lots. Okay. Who else do we have today to speak to? Crit Talks just gave me the prayer sign saying, please. Kritolski.
Yes, sir.
No, you don't have to call me sir. Call me Mr. Heidecker.
Call me sir.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Heidecker. Thank you for letting me in. How are you today?
We should have a thing in our country where if you've won an Oscar, you're a sir. You're a Sir Al Pacino.
That's a great idea.
How can I help you today?
Latest movie I watched was Duck Soup. Don't know if that's still on the table, but just throwing that out there. Not very recent film, but
I saw Duck Soup in a movie theater in Philadelphia when I was in college. Closest I had to a gay experience. Well, maybe not the I mean, I've had a lot of kind of gay experiences, I guess.
What does that mean?
Well, I went there with a guy, and it was like, I just felt like there was like a feeling of like, this is like, I don't really know this. Like, there's a friend I just kind of met, and it was just, it's weird, like little feeling of like, we're in a movie theater together. It's kind of, there's a feeling here. There's like a little hint of a little spark
between
us. Were
you expecting the bro seat between you two?
Perhaps.
Okay.
You mind if I
Nothing came of it. It was just a fleeting moment of pheromones between us.
It's just what could have been at this point.
You never know.
Yeah.
Never know what could happen. But
nice. I was wondering if Al Pacino would ever consider, you know, portraying Caveboy's story possibly in the future if we find out more.
Caveboy's story? What's a story? There's no story.
There's no story there, pal.
The kid knew nothing. Sidney Lumet would look at that bio and throw it out the window.
Smash a rock on my head. And the end. That's how that movie plays out.
You ever see that movie Caveman with Ringo Starr?
Great movie.
You love movies.
I love them.
Great movie.
I'm a real cinemaphile.
You ever see Akira Kurosawa's Rashomon?
Whoa. No, I haven't actually.
Have you ever seen Superfast? It's playing on YouTube.
Where do I get that?
Now, YouTube.
Do I get it at the DVD store?
It's YouTube with ads.
Al, you were telling me before the show began, I could not find anything on this on your IMDb, but you're saying you were in the original Star Wars.
I played a little Jawa. They cut my scene. I couldn't.
What are those Jawas? The little in the robes with the black?
Yeah, they got the little voices and the little.
You were one of those guys?
I was one of those guys.
Those are the guys in the sand, that big sand
That's
tank.
That's right.
What, were you on your knees during that? Like, what? How did you manage to get so small?
Look, I'm really not that tall. Right?
You are not very tall. Are you taller than Tom Cruise?
I'm a bit on the short side. Tom, I don't know. That's a great question.
You ever do a movie with Tom Cruise?
I do not think so. Have I?
I don't think
so. I'll tell you what. Let's look it up on IMDb.
Okay.
And we'll find out the
answer.
How
about Catherine St. Paul?
Oh, I've worked with her before.
Catherine
St. Paul. She's a great actress. I worked with her and Anne Wedgeworth on a movie, Scarecrow.
What the hell is Scarecrow about anyway?
Oh, that's a movie. Hello?
It's a Wizard of Oz thing?
No. That's a movie Gene Hackman and I. We played, we go to prison. Hmm. And Michael DeBar takes a wine bottle and does some really unnameable things.
Okay. Catherine.
Oh, hell no.
How can I help you today? Thank you, Chris Kratalski, for your question or for your comment. What's going on, Catherine?
Just hanging out. Wanted to share a movie recommendation with y'all.
Very good.
I think maybe Doug might be interested in this one. I was watching a...
Was it X-rated?
No, unfortunately.
What is it? Skateboard movie?
So I watched this documentary on mushrooms the other day.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous Fungi?
No. It was such an incredible experience. I don't think I'll ever watch a documentary without him again.
Listen to Catherine with the joking.
Keanu Reeves used to call me Al Porcini on the set of Devil's Advocate.
Oh, yeah?
Fantastic Fungi is a good movie, though. It's pretty interesting
stuff. It is a good movie, actually. Cool. So that's it.
Good work, Catherine. Always bringing something to the show, not like some of these other fucks. Let's talk to...
Also,
why don't
you
we
know,
do this?
She came in, she did the joke, and she's out.
She's out, yeah.
The Hothead Hotline is back as Matt switches over frantically to the Google number. Hothead Hotline, give us a call.
I think the Hothead Hotline is just the bad joke sewer.
It's a sewer.
It's a sewer.
Well, it's a crapshoot.
So far, it's just been people
631,
trying to do
on.
A bit.
631, what's going on?
631? Oh, are you still... Sorry. Wait,
631.
Good morning, good morning, good.
What happened? Sorry, 631. Here,
let's go. Hello. Oh, yeah.
Let's,
wait for another.
Go ahead.
I think we're over. You know what might be going on? We might be overwhelming.
Bye forever.
Google just shut down. Google, hello, it's, it's a Google number, Matt?
Yeah. Sometimes we can call back, though. Let's see what happens if we call back 717.
What area code? Where's 717?
Hi.
Come on, man. You got to memorize that shit.
Wait, why am I not hearing this at all?
All right. While we're waiting, big announcement. Big announcement. Give me some big announcement news, guys.
Hello, David.
Give me some big announcement news. Music, I should say.
Oh, boy. Where's my music bites?
Come on. Bum, ba, da, ba, bum, 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 bum. What is that? Big announcement, everybody. Focus, focus, focus. Put down your pot. Put down your Seth Rogen houseplant bowl. Oh, I had the funniest time with him because I made a joke. He announced this big houseplant thing. He's got this new company, which looks very cool. And it's like he's selling his own weed strains with pottery and like he's selling an ashtray and this whole like lifestyle thing around the weed smoking. And I wrote under it, I said something to the effect of, this plant is a drug. And if you keep selling it, you're going to go to jail. And I know Seth a little, and he, of course, probably thought that, you know, thought that was funny, and it's intended to be a joke. Not so much all his fans. Maron. This somebody wrote, you know, days later, go fuck yourself. And, like, a lot of people saying, oh, this guy must be fun at parties. Like, you don't get that. I don't know. Don't you have any curiosity? You have to immediately write back. With your reaction to my joke?
You should have said, I don't go to parties because of COVID. Yeah. Super spreader events. I stay away.
Sorry, anybody on the hothead hotline?
Are you there, 717?
717. Before you die.
That's how many pages the Aaron Sorkin film, The Trial of the Chicago 7, was.
you're really obsessed with the number of pages these scripts are.
I read a lot.
You get sent a lot of scripts to read?
I do. I got sent the...
Oh, my big announcement. Son of a bitch. The big announcement is this Saturday, we are back with another game night, ladies and gentlemen. Another game night with the Holy Trinity. It is going to be a blast. We'll be celebrating 1 year of Office Hours Extreme. And patrons only, folks. Patrons only. That's the new regime. We're not giving this shit away, this garbage. We are not giving this garbage away for free anymore. You must be a member, and that's how we're going to roll these days with the special shows. So we'll see you Saturday night right here on the Tim Heidecker YouTube Experience. And games, we don't know. Vic wants to play checkers. I'm not so sure that's a great idea.
Or Nintendo.
Or Nintendo. Okay.
NES.
Why don't we leave it to the patrons and have them decide what game we should play.
We should do that game we played last time, the Taboo.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to play a new game. What about Pictionary?
Okay.
How about paddle tennis?
Not sure.
And one other piece of business is...
I'm up for that.
We have begun writing and begun planning the Oscar special for the Uncinema fans out there. The Oscar special is in writing mode, pre-production mode, Imagineering mode, fully funded by you in various ways. One of the ways you can fund it is... visiting the On Cinema store, oncinemastore.com, pick up a shirt or a personal video greeting from Greg or Joe Estevez or Axiom. And we will be bringing you that on April 25th, Oscar night. Are you going to go to the Oscars?
I don't know if I'll go to the Oscars. I'll probably come here, actually.
Okay.
I'm inviting myself. I'm going to bring Guy Fieri. He's going to make some food for you, some snacks.
What about Chris D'Elia? You were partying with him a little bit that night at Sly Stallone's house.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Have you been in touch with Chris D'Elia since he's been canceled? Al, are you worried about being canceled ever? Do you have any salacious stuff in your past that you're worried about coming up?
Probably, but I don't really remember it, so
fuck, man.
You can't be held accountable.
All
right. What do we have, Matt?
Tim? Can I ask a quick question? Can we do mixed martial arm wrestling on game night?
Mixed.
Take our shoes off.
Take our shirt off.
Maybe arm wrestle. We could punch each other in the face. And
my kids are really into wrestling. I've been wrestling off with my kids, and they're
MMA.
Call it battle. It's battle time. And we did sumo style, where you got to stay within the rug. You know, stay on the rug. If you get pushed off, I slam my kid down. Boom! Off the rug. Ooh. I win.
Woody Allen. Round two. Wrestling.
No, no, then. Warm it up. round two. Ready? Ooh! Fuck. Off the rug. I win again. I have not lost. I'm undefeated.
I think we got one. 615. Are you on?
615.
I'm a hairy guy.
Hi.
Who's this?
Hi.
Someone who doesn't know how to use a phone, apparently.
Speak.
615, you're on the line.
Oh, hi. Hi, Tim.
Who's calling?
My name's Gary.
Oh, boy.
Where are you from? Gary, where are you from?
I'm from Tennessee, up in the hill.
Is this Chase again doing a voice?
No.
Wait, I see Chase on the Zoom talking.
Yeah, this is Chase. Stop calling us.
It's Chase, you little rat. You're banned. I'm going to ban you. Banned from the show, just like Phil. Although Phil came back and redeemed himself last week with a really unforgettable bit. Who do we have here on the Hothead Hotline?
815, you're on.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
This is Bobby from Rockford, Illinois, home of Cheap Trick.
I know.
Bobby De Niro?
How can I help you today?
Well, long-time listener, I'm calling in for a movie recommendation. I'm going to go with A Letter from Death Row.
All right. Thank you very much. A Letter from Death Row. Is that a recent film or what?
It's a 1998 thriller directed by Bret Michaels.
Directed by who?
Whoa.
Bret Michaels.
Bret Michaels. From Poison or what is this?
Yeah, it's from Poison.
Okay. Is it a good movie?
It's not.
Well, thanks for the recommendation.
Cool. Yep, that's about it.
All right. What's the name of that movie? Letter from Death Row?
Uh-huh.
Let's find that one, Matt, and talk about it in the after hours. Maybe find the trailer for that.
Double feature with Fred Durst's film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was that one with John Travolta?
That's where he's the one.
The psycho fan?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I heard it's a fun watch.
I'll give it a shot.
What about Gotti?
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah? You love all the movies.
All Travolta films are good. I was going to play the baby and Look Who's Talking, but he got that.
Oh, you'd have been good in that.
Yeah, I would have been great in it.
He played.
No, that was Bruce Willis that played did the voice.
That's right. Bruce got the role.
I want to see the Travolta film that was shot in 360. Did you see that?
No, I don't know about that.
Kills that you can watch in VR with him and Sandy. What's her name?
Sandy
Bullock?
No, from Greece. Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, I like their music video when they land. He lands his plane.
Yeah, it's
and
amazing.
He
uh-huh. Wow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take one more Zoomer, and then we will say goodbye and meet you over in the after hours.
Right.
Cut the tape. Brooks Allison.
You know, I was meeting with somebody the other day, and they burped. Loud burp after our meal. Loud burp. And I was like, excuse me? And I'm like, that's what I do all the time. That's how people perceive me, some rude jerk.
Boorish.
Do we have somebody?
Who?
How about
Brooks,
that dude?
Did you unmute? Brooks.
Is anybody there?
I don't know.
Here's somebody.
It makes me feel shameful, and it makes me feel bad.
How about Heather Hawley?
Well, that was on my side.
Oh.
But Brooks didn't figure it out anyhow.
Dang.
Heather? Long. You got him?
Yeah, Heather with all kinds of patterns. Heather, you there?
Dang.
This is a throwback to a year ago, huh?
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a real mess. Heather doesn't seem to be listening to the show. Oh, there you are.
Sorry.
What's up, Heather? You look a little like Elton John today.
Do I?
Yeah, with the glasses and the hair could be one of his toupees. I mean, no, your hair looks fine. It would be odd on him.
Oh, need the duck sorry. Suit.
I mean, doesn't she a little bit look like maybe Elton John?
This is such a dangerous road. I
are you offended? And the colorful shirt, the whole deal.
No, I am not at all offended.
Good.
She's a cutie pie.
She's a larger than life look.
How can I help you today, Heather?
I feel like I had a good question for you that would have been more relevant a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
When the Bruce Springsteen podcast was announced.
Yes.
It's called Renegades.
Renegades. Max, I'm starting a podcast. I'm going to call it Renegades. All right.
Is this some sort of weird Jeep tie-in?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Is there a Jeep Renegade, like, right?
Oh. No one's talking about it, but I feel like his Jeep commercial, and now he's, you know,
Bruce. Bruce, I just got a phone call. A friend of mine said that this podcast we've been doing has been sponsored by a Jeep. Well, yes, Mr. President, I didn't think you'd mind. Listen, Bruce, I love what you do. I love your music. But I can't be associating myself with any particular company. Just can't do it. I got too many things going on. It's going to damage my brand if I associate with Jeep. Now, what is that going to do to my GM deal that I'm working on? My Ford. So next time you want me to do your podcast, you got to tell me if it's associated with a particular car company. I tried, Mr. President. Damn, Mr. President, I'm sorry about that. I was just sitting on the hood of my Jeep, crack open a warm beer, talking to Maria, looking at my hatchback. Boy, I never thought of that, Renegades. That's slimy business, Bruce. I'm calling him out.
And they dropped the charges on him.
We gotta cancel Bruce now.
Obama pulled some strings for him.
Listen, Bruce. Next time I do a project with you, you gotta tell me if it's a co-sponsor, if it's branded content. I need to know. What you got? Nothing to say about that, Al?
I'm sorry. Where am I? I just want to say before I accept this award, I want to thank Marty Bregman.
Now, Al, do you have a? You've got a sponsorship going on with Menchie's, the frozen yogurt place. What's that all about?
I love Greek yogurt. I expect it to be ice cream every time I dip my spoon in, and it tastes like ice cream. It feels like ice cream.
You put toppings. What's your toppings?
Oh, I put Oreos on top. I put little sprinkles. Okay. What do you like on yours?
I'm trying to stay off that stuff right now.
Figure it out.
All right. Well, listen, thanks, everybody. It's 11:30 here in Glendale. That means we're going to say goodbye. Don't forget to visit oncinemastore.com this week and buy some merchandise so we can make you a nice Oscar special. My tour continues on various record stores tonight. If you'd go to Rough Trade New York's Instagram, there'll be a performance there. And every night we're going to be doing shows, playing me with my little acoustic guitar, playing songs that you know and love. Thank you to Weird Al Pacino, who's going to stick around for the after hours. Thank you to Matt and Vic and Doug and Wes and everybody out there. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Andrew Bird for calling in with his new album. That's really unbelievable, with Jimbo Mathis. And I got nothing else.
I want to thank Tom Pollock and Casey Silver. Over at Paramount Pictures, all right, we're done. I'm out of here.
I give you a cue to like do your whole spiel. That'll be how we go out.
All right, I'll keep it going then. Rick Nasita over at CAA, and I want to thank the Association for the Blind, Ira Lewis. Who else can we thank? John Campisi, I mentioned him. Great guy. And let's see, who else? Oh my God, there's so many names. Too many names to think of. And we got a. Oh, I know who I want. And Wedgeworth. And, go to. Get the Pacino. Get it all set. Find your questions. Get your answers. Script ideas. off. We're still going. Thank the great Bobby Duvall, too.